is now time for the Craig James Financial Report with our man Craig Ferrantino, certified wealth strategist extraordinaire and president of Craig James Financial Services, in business for over 30 years. Craig James, that's right, located at 510 Broad Hollow Road in Melville. More information, you can make a phone call later, 631-393-2888, and check out the all-important website, Long Island Investment Advisors.com. Mr. Ferrantino, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you? Happy Monday.
Indeed. It is going to be a busy one. I'll tell you, a very busy week, and I love the 29,000 crossover. As brief as it was, it certainly it read very well when that happened, huh, on a Friday?
Yes. You know, we had, again, geopolitical risks. You had two things. We had a very good unemployment report. Yeah, and we also had some easing of tensions and a de-escalation of the United States-Iran conflict, and I think those two pushed the positivity to a new height, and we're trending, looks like the futures this morning are positive, so we'll see where this goes for the rest of the week. But, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 0.7% for the week, closing at 28,824. We closed just under that 29,000. The S&P 500, 3,265, up about 0.9% for the week. Year-to-date, up 1.1%. We start talking about year-to-date numbers, second week in January. But, you start taking a look at that. The 10-year yield at a 1.82, very healthy, very low interest rates. Low interest rates mean that growth stocks, it's a very favorable environment for growth stocks. That's your Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and things like that. Oil actually went down for the week, 6.2%. There was a rise in oil prices due to the fact that Iran's very close to the Straits of Hormuz, and they could attack tankers, and so people felt that the demand for oil would be higher in a volatile market. But now that that's ramped down, you're starting to see some easing of the oil. So that's the basic numbers there. We see that a couple of things that I'm picking up here. The number one searched thing on Google was World War III. So the words World War III was searched a lot last week, in the middle of the week in particular. And so, this geopolitical climate really had an effect, particularly on U.S. investors. And so people are very, very, very nervous. And it might be that the media, is kind of hoping for a war. I don't know. It drives ratings. I don't know. It's just something crazy like that. But nonetheless, they dialed down the rhetoric, and that had a big impact on the markets, and I think that's the big thing. When you start to see things like that people are, a lot of Google tracks a lot of things, and that's one of the things they track. And to me, I was like, okay, that's a sign that people are very nervous. Which, if that did happen, there would be a shift, Jay, into a more defensive posture on the stock markets, and so we have to be aware of that, both in for people in retirement plans and other things like that. So, the market's looking very, very interesting. They had, just to keep talking about the markets a little bit, so some analysis showed last year that the 25% of the growth of the S&P 500, that means a quarter of the growth, is due to Apple, which had a decent year. And that's a pretty, when you look at the S&P 500 and you look at how this all plays out, the S&P 500 is a cap-weighted index, which means that the largest companies have the most votes. Give you an example, Apple is probably the number one in there, and so what Apple does can affect the whole Standard & Poor's index. I would compare it to, and hopefully I'll do this for your listeners to make it very, very simple, that the Congress is made up of the House of Representatives and also the Senate. And so in the House of Representatives, like New York has, 34 House representatives, and then some states have less, even though they could be larger states. So it's based on population, and so therefore the House can be dominated by a few states, like California, New York. Illinois has a lot of delegates. So that's similar to the S&P 500, where Apple and, again, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix have, because they're cap-weighted, have a larger say than some other companies. Now, there's another index called the equal-weighted index, and the RSP is the symbol for that. And the RSP basically says, you know what, Jay, we have just like the Senate, every state has only two votes. So if you're Rhode Island, you get two senators. If you're New York, you only get two senators. If you're California, you only get two senators. So so it's more of an equal weight and give you an idea of how the markets are doing. So if you're feeling, and the reason why I'm explaining all of this, because Apple is also hitting a very very high note, and some analysts now are looking at this and they're saying, you know, Apple might be very I'd be very rich here at $310.33. So, and it's actually trading up today too. So, somebody may think that it's a little rich here, meaning that Apple has grown. It's trading at 26 times earnings, and with the thought of that Apple's a year behind everybody else on the 5G technologies. That they haven't come out with any new products. They've only advanced current products for a couple of years. And I'm not saying I concur. There's no recommendation here, but they also have a large portion of the S&P 500 index. So some people are thinking that it's overvalued. And it does control a good portion of the S&P 500. So if you start to see a sell-off in Apple, you'll see a sell-off in that index. And I think that's very, very important to note. So there's some chinks to the strong armor of Apple, and the bears for Apple are now coming out. I saw it over the weekend, and I started to agree with them. My only corollary to what they're saying is that Apple has a lot of cash, and Apple has a great amount of cash. And so they could, if they're not growing, they could always buy somebody who is growing, as opposed to other companies that don't have that kind of horsepower. Another thing for personal investors, Jay, this year that the President Trump signed into law just in late December was the SECURE Act. And SECURE Act is, I think it stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. Setting every SEC, that's right, Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. I don't know where they came up with this. I like SECURE, but I like that what it stands for. But enhancement things, I think of pills that I hear on the radio all the time. Many of its provisions, though, benefit everyday investors for retirement. The first one is that the required minimum distribution goes from 70.5 to 72. So while a year and a half doesn't seem that much, it does help many people who have been forced to pay a lot of taxes, delay that for a year and a half. I'll give you an example. If I could, you know, if I have, I have $100,000 in an IRA at 70.5, I have to take out, about $6,000, let's say. So, which is $500 a month. Even if I don't need the money, I'm still adding that. I still have to take that amount of money out. And so that shows up on my tax return. And, if I don't have to take it at 70.5, then I can delay it till 72. Well, now I still have another year and a half of tax deferred growth, and I'm not forced to take that out. I never understood the 70.5. That was like another, like, why 70.5? Why don't you just make it 70 or 71? But this is how Congress operates, they draft the legislation. I guess that was the compromise, was 70.5. So this is beneficial as Americans live longer. And they actually work longer, and so they can now contribute longer to their lives. You could have no problem having 72, 70. My dad worked until he was 78 years old at Northrop Grumman, and but he had to take out a required minimum distribution out of his IRAs while he was still working. And which just not only was he taxed on his employment income, and he was also taking out Social Security taxes, he was also taxed, he was also given Social Security, and he was taxed on that as well. So that moves the age a year and a half. And they added 401ks for part-time employees, which I think is very interesting. You know, you have to have the old adage is that you had to work 1,000 hours to be eligible. And starting in next year, the new retirement law guarantees 401k plans. eligibility for those, all they have to do is work 500 hours per year for three consecutive years, and then you could start a 401k plan. So, and you have to be 21 years old by the end of the three-year period, which is right. You started at 18, you work 3 years, you're 21, you're part-time, you still go to school, you would still make you eligible for a 401k. So that rule doesn't apply for union employees. You know, there's all sorts of interesting things. There's probably 29 different aspects to the act, but I want to let you know that most of this is very favorable to investors and to people who are particularly Long Islanders. And if you're interested in how this Secure Act, which was signed by President Trump in the last 2 weeks or so, it didn't get a lot of press. It was bipartisan, very bipartisan, which is very impressive. So if you want to see how that affects you, just give our office a call. It'd be too much to explain here on a simple call. But this is great. Great day for savers and investors, and a great day for people preparing for after-work life. You know, I like the word retire, Jay. Just retire has the word tire in it. You know, like, I'm tired. I want to retire. I'm tired every night, but I'm retiring. So afterlife, after work. So what are you doing after your, you know, Jay, what are you doing at 66, 68? Are you still a DJ?
Well, you know what? I'm going to use the word retire when I hang them up. Let's put it that way. And I'm going to love using it. Now, a couple of things. So, in essence, we are looking pretty good here. I mean, 29,000 is a big deal. And I say that because we've never done that before. You know, uncharted territory, so to speak. It was good to get there for a glimpse, and then we kind of retracted. That's okay. You know, with all that's happened, all this impeachment stuff and, you know, going to the Senate and the two articles and Iran and nearly a massive conflict and ramifications beyond, you know, it's just really amazing. And the numbers coming in for December, you know, still holding at 3.5% unemployment, still a 50-year low, 145,000 jobs added in December. I know it's under the projected amount. What was it? I think it was 164,000. But, you know, with all that being said, it is incredible as far as where we're at. Phase two is underway as far as U.S. and China in these trade agreements. You know, all is good when you think about it, especially with all that we have gone through in the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Oh, I know, and that the geopolitical risk is what you're addressing. And can I just point to that? I mean, this is frustrating me. Bloomberg came out with something about a few months ago that conflicts don't necessarily affect the markets. Pearl Harbor, 1941, the initial impact of Pearl Harbor, the market sold off 12.7%. So let's say you're at 30,000, maybe you go down 3,600 points. Market return a year later was down 6%, so it came back some of that, but it's still down. Bay of Pigs invasion was down 1.6%. The market returned a year later was 2.3%. Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, the initial impact down 2.7%. The market return a year later up 37.2%. Operation Desert Storm, 1991, the initial impact of that was down 1.2% for the year. The following year, 37.7%. Saddam Hussein killed in 2006. The market was down 0.6%. Market return a year later, up 6.2%. Osama bin Laden killed. Market was initially down 2.2%. That was in 2011. Up 5.4% the year later. Syria missile strike in 2018, last year, market was down 1.2%. And a year later, up 11.3%. So very, very interesting, those numbers. You put it in perspective, the longer-term performance of the market following these notable past conflicts and military events. And I think this is what you're starting to see. People just got to calm down and understand that this geopolitical risk is out there, and this is—it's always most easily in all these instances, except one, that it's just temporary, and to get over it.
Fascinating week, and who knows what will happen this week? We will talk about it next Monday, as always, with you, Craig Ferrantino, a certified wealth strategist extraordinaire and the president of the Craig James Financial Services, located in the heart of Melville. Craig's been at it a long time, 3 decades plus. Knows it better than anyone else. Long Island Investment Advisors.com, sir. We'll talk soon. How's that?
Thank you, Jay. Talk to you next week.